so much time with them. I mean, that's just the nature of working together. I mean, you become close when you, especially in construction or any job like that, you're just with them all day. I mean, sometimes more than our families. I mean,
well, it's not just that you're with them. There is an etiquette to having conversations at work.
Right.
And it's super different from the etiquette at home. Like, if you're having a deep, intense personal conversation at home and you turn on the blender, that's kind of rude.
Right.
At work, you have to do that. That has to be the rule. Somebody's telling you that their cat just died that morning and they're totally upset. You got to cut a board in half halfway through that conversation. You cut the board in half.
Right.
Otherwise, you got to book off. Otherwise, it's not fair to the client.
Right.
So the upshot of this is you have these very slow, very intense conversations where people really have time to process their thoughts and their reactions. And for people who are not born communicators and processors of their feelings and their emotions, you know, sometimes they need a week.
Right.
And that's the great thing about construction. You probably got 6 months.
It's a big process. It takes a long time, yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back on the Radio Real Estate Show. So hang on to your dial. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. I'm here at Scott Simmons back with the Radio Real Estate Show on CFSI. And I want to say hi to all our online listeners today. There's people listening across the country. I want to say hi to a few people that I know are listening on Vancouver Island and different places, because this show does stream live. It's also available on my podcast on my website at saltspringre.com. You can find my Radio Real Estate Show podcast. Nick's just gone to the little boys' room. He'll be right back. But, I'm really quite happy to have Nick here today. Usually, it's so hard to get the contractor on the island to come out to the radio show, because these guys are so busy working, building houses, that it's hard to get them away from their job sites. So it's a real pleasure to have Nick here today. And so we've talked about a few things, and I wanted to ask Nick about the kitchens. The kitchens are such a big part of the houses. I mean, before the show started, we were talking about the granite look and the stainless steel, and I don't know, in my opinion, it's like almost dated now. And Nick was saying how ideally you could get a stainless steel sink made and go with wood, or there's so many options in the kitchen, isn't there?
Yeah, particularly on Salt Spring, every kitchen is really different, and some of them are pretty wildly different. A lot of people really, really do use their kitchens intensely here, and are really into food, into growing food and processing food. I think everybody who's working hard and getting into their career, part of their retirement dream is getting more into good quality food, healthier, better.
People want to grow their own vegetables, and then, yeah, like you said, they want a pantry to store them, maybe, and they want... People like the dual sinks. It's almost like...
Dual sinks. Oh, two sinks in different places.
Yeah, one for a wash-up kind of prep sink, and then, I mean, it's almost like a mini commercial kitchens in their houses. I mean, the cooking of the meal, if we look back maybe 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, my father's era... You know, the little woman would be in the back room shut off, and the men would be out, and the food would magically appear. Now, it's kind of like the family partakes, or the group partakes in the cooking of it, and then dines kind of together, either at the edge of the kitchen or beside the kitchen or attached to the kitchen, but it's usually an open space, and it's all encompassing. Like, the kitchen's part of the house now.
It's almost always an open space.
Yeah.
People really like that interaction, and that's what the second sink is about, is being able to have somebody who's kind of a volunteer. So we started this conversation talking about counters. So different counters. Like, I mean, in the same kitchen, using different materials for counters.
Yeah.
That's always what I like.
Yeah.
Is not just sticking to one piece, one product.
One big sheet Arbrite, all the same color.
Well, I do love laminate, like Arbrite or Formica.
It's
not
so robust.
It is, and particularly the Carpenter built on site one on the plywood.
Right.
Sure, the laminate itself is kind of malamine, it's plastic, but it's not much of it, and it is robust. It will last a long time.
Right.
It's one of the environmental choices, I would say.
And if you're tired of it, just throw it out. It's not that expensive. You know, like in 10 years, if it wears out or your knife cuts into it or whatever, you know, it's not like you've spent $25,000 on a piece of granite that was brought in or, you know what I mean? Like the
My house is 30 years old and was built by Henry Lear.
Okay.
And
Henry just died last year, for those who don't know.
That's why I kind of mentioned it.
He was a great builder.
Yeah, he was.
I've been in some of his houses, and I talked to him about... before he died, about a few of his houses, and amazing builder, some of the houses that he built.
He fit right into Salt Spring. He was a pretty strong character. But anyway, it's a laminate countertop on plywood. It's 30 years old, and it's beginning to show perfectly functional.
Right.
It's only just starting to show a little wear.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's. I'm not saying it's the countertop, but it's a reasonable choice.
Yeah. I mean, that's just it. And people think, you know, you got to have granite, but it's just so expensive. And I don't know. I don't like the black granite countertops and the stainless steel appliances. It looks so cold, you know. I mean, it just looks like this cold, stark, you know, I don't know, magazine type of looking kitchen that doesn't do anything.
All the granite, all the natural stones are beautiful.
Right.
And granite can just, friends, clients, they're living in a place right now, they bought one of the houses on Bishop's Walk, and they have a fairly typical kitchen with granite countertop, but it was good design, it was a good choice of granite, and it looks great.
Right.
But like any material, people can get carried away, and that has happened.
Yeah.
There's so much beautiful stone out there. I'd love natural stone, and granite is no exception, but it's all got to be in balance.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a trend that's gone so far, you know, that it seems like, you know, when we laugh about the shag carpet of the 70s, the orange shag
carpet.
Shag's
coming back in.
Is it really?
Oh, you should go into the carpet store.
There you
like
go.
Huge shag,
oh,
like
right,
3-inch
right,
pile.
Right.
Just, and it's so.
But you know what I mean? We laugh about the lime green matching toilet, you know, sink, you know, those types of things. But this era will be known for the granite countertops and stainless steel appliances. And in 10 years from now, you walk into a condo somewhere or a house and you go, oh, built in the, you know, 2010 era or whatever.
I think you and I are on the same page. I'm not really a style guy.
You're not a slave to fashion, is what you're saying.
Well, I guess that's my point. I'm not, but right. Lots of people like being in style.
Right.
They like the fact that things change, and in 10 years they can update their kitchen.
Right.
That's not a negative to them. They like
right.
that.
Right.
And for those people that want that and like that, that's great.
Yeah.
But that's, everybody's different.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's the design of the kitchen, I think, that's more important. You know, my pet peeve is when they haven't allowed enough space and you open the dishwasher and then you can't get by it. That's always a telltale that I look at. Open the dishwasher and it's like, okay, this just cut the kitchen in half. Because, you know, if you go into 90% of the houses, the dishwashers are always open. You know, I don't know. My next house, I'm going to have two dishwashers, one for the ones coming out, one for the ones going in, and forget the cupboards, just keep the stuff in the dishwasher going back and forth. And so it's nice to have the, you know, when they're open. I mean, most people, they just leave them open all the time. And so you need that space to walk by where if it cuts a kitchen in half, then...
You leave your dishwasher open all the time?
Probably half the time. I think most people do. A lot of people do. I see a lot of open dishwashers all the time. Even when you're showing houses, people accidentally leave them open.
Really? I don't even own a dishwasher.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
We thought about putting one in, but...
See, ideally, two dishwashers make a lot of sense. Then you have one going in with the dirty, one coming out with the clean, and then you just cycle them in, and then you just fire it up, and then that becomes the clean, and then you just fire it into the dirty.
I get the logic.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet.
Right. I've seen it in a few houses. I think it's going to be a growing trend.
Like the granite.
Yeah. There seems to be something happening at the station here. We're either suffering a minor earthquake or there's 45 people out in the lobby trying to get in into the studio today. So the kitchen is a main focal point of the houses almost now, wouldn't you say? One of the main focal points almost, the kitchen.
Well, it's the open living space, and right. The kitchen has come into that open living space, and it's the kitchen, dining room, entry, and living room. And those, not always the entry. In many houses, I kind of like to see the entry from the living space, but many people don't. So the three, maybe the fourth space.
Well, our dining room still... I thought that maybe dining rooms were kind of like going to go like the dodo bird. Like how many, like with the kitchen, the open concept kitchen, and let's say you had a bar stool on there, and then, you know, the formal dining room with the big dining room table, like, do you think it's still got a place in the house, or is it more of a kitchen table now? Like it's, what's the definition of a kitchen table and a dining room table? I guess that's kind of a...
Size.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there are people out there who kind of like the idea of having a separate dining room.
Right.
But it's even if you can afford to have a really big house, personally, many people are like, well, that's a lot to look after. It's a lot to maintenance.
A lot of space.
And it's kind of hard on the economy. You got to really kind of want it personally to kind
right.
of. So you got to balance, well, what spaces am I giving up to have a formal dining room?
Right.
And I think in this time and age, a quiet living room would be something that I would much more, if I had an extra room.
Right.
I would go for, you know.
The media room, kind of quiet room.
Yeah, I kind of wouldn't call it a media room because
right.
that's
right.
kind of noisy. I'm talking more, yeah, there would be a stereo in it and a TV, but the focus would be if you're in there, it's quiet.
Right.
And, you know, sitting, working beside somebody and, you know, one of the kids is on the couch reading a book quietly or something, that's a really nice space. And then the people in the main room, they can be a little bit more noisy.
Right.
That, like, and one is more of a, the open space is kept a little cooler, a little more
right.
energy efficient, and a little more geared to the active. The doors may be open 8 months of the year as opposed to
right.
six. And the quiet room, the door is usually closed, and it's usually a little warmer.
Right.
And cleaner, and shoes off for sure.
Right.
For sure in the quiet room, and that kind of more complex thinking around the living plan.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, most people take their shoes off in Canada, though, don't they? I think kind of a shoe-off culture.
Half and half.
In most houses, I think most people do take their shoes off.
Yeah, but if your shoes are clean and you're at a party
right.
and you know,
right.
no one takes offense if you've got clean-soled shoes and,
right.
you know, it's particularly somebody's dressed a little nicer.
Right.
Whereas Japan is the obvious country with
right.
the shoe off.
Right.
And that's, you take your shoes off in Japan.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
I think that's where probably the breakdown is, if it's work shoes or, you know, everyday shoes, or if it's a party, it would be different. But
yeah.
most people, even at parties, though, I find most people take their shoes off nowadays. Because at the end of the night, you're always trying to find your shoes. Usually, you know, there's like 30 sets there, and you're, oh, okay, I should have worn my red ones. I can't find them.
I was at a function the other day, and it was a formal, this function had a purpose, and it was formal. And half the people were from Salt Spring.
Right.
And half the people had kind of just flown in from Vancouver.
Right.
The people who'd flown in, and they were all kind of nicely dressed
right.
and
right.
had business shoes, flat, like no tread,
right.
no
right.
dirt carrying tread.
Right. They hadn't been out to the chicken coop. They weren't from Salt Spring, right?
Right, exactly. None of them took their shoes off.
Yeah.
Everybody from Salt Spring, and this was in a house with
right.
wood floors, a nice house.
Right.
Everybody from Salt Spring took the shoes off.
Well, everybody from Salt Spring had to go lock up their chickens before they went to the parties because, you know, you don't get home till it's dark, and it was probably, you know, the coons will be out, so they locked up their chickens, and of course they got to take their shoes off. It's a Salt, maybe it's a Salt Spring thing, but...
I think it is more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't spend the money on high quality shoes here, at least I don't, but I don't think most people do, than city people. City people spend a lot more on shoes. It's... You know, I mean, Salt Springers don't. It's, I mean, you know, we just don't, like, you know, $400 shoes. I don't think many men on Salt Spring spend $400 on shoes that they're going to wear around the house.
Well, I guess that's proof. I was thinking, you know.
Birkenstocks, maybe.
Well, maybe right. $180 on a right. pair of shoes right. was pretty fancy.
Now, this is something that I'm glad I've got you here. And we've been talking about this, but I want to... The entranceway.
Yes.
See, my pet peeve is my mom was raised formally by her grandmother, who came from Scotland, who always said, you know, you never go in... If you're going to visit someone's house, you go in the front door. You're a visitor. If you're going there to... work to clean their house or do something, then you enter by the back door, the servant's entrance. And she was always, it depended on how you got invited. If you were invited to someone's house formally as a guest, then you, she would say, we have to go to the front door. I mean, and if it was, you know, you were coming over to help them do something, then it would be the back door. And on Salt Spring, we seem to have this huge door complex because a lot of people, a lot of the houses are stock plans. You know, they've just got a book, found some plans, we'll build this house, and then the house is set up for subdivision with a laneway and a dry, you know, a road out front. And so it's got this front door, and they've angled that over the view, and then you can't get to the front door. And do you see that often? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's a universal problem. Almost every house I build, there is the front of the house, in my opinion, the important facade, the faces the view, and it's kind of a private space, because to see that view and to react to that view, you have to be in the garden, in the back garden, looking right. back at the house, and also because the view is kind of what it's all about on Salt Spring, whether right. it's a land view. I have a land view, and I love it. In the morning, the sunrise... Oh, yeah. And the mist in the trees, I love my land view.
Well, your house is kind of up on top of the... It's like you're right on top of the forest because you're so high up on a hill.
We are. And
Nick's house is like a castle right on the highest ground in, around it. It's very cool.
Thank you.
And it's in a canopy, too, so you're right over top of the canopy and you see the birds. And
what you couldn't see is Stoll and Weston Lakes are right. in those trees.
Oh, right.
And in the mornings, they generate this really right. low-lying mist that
cool.
that weaves in between the trees.
Right.
And with the sunrise, oh, right. it's right. just every time you see it, it's like, wow.
So is that the front of your house, then?
Absolutely.
That's the front. So right. So would my mom be struggling along your driveway, try to find the front door? She wouldn't come into your back door. So.
You just have to get over the notion that the front door is on the back of the house.
Yeah.
Or you got to get on board with that notion and
usually
get over the idea that
the front doors here are onto a deck.
Like, correct.
Yeah, and you know there was a house. Now I don't
like
want
my house.
Yeah. I don't want to say where the house is because I'll get in trouble because it used to be listed. It didn't sell, but a lot of people know where it is. There was a particular house that was for sale for about 3 years on Salt Spring that didn't sell. And it had this whole problem of no formal front entrance. So when you came to the house, it looked as if there was a front door and you'd go to it. Oh, well, there was no key because that was basically a French door that came off the living room, and well, you couldn't go in there. There was no key to get in. So then you had to go back around the side of the house and go into the kitchen door. And, you know, it was listed at like $1 million. And so here's these people excited. You know, they've looked at all the pictures online. They're excited to see the house. And I would just follow them and watch their psychology. And then I would be thinking about my mom and her grandmother, and it's like, the psychology is then they would just, their egos and everything would just be so deflated because here they are going into the kitchen door like, oh, you're here to mop up the after the party. I mean, it just ruined the whole entrance. People kind of wanted that grand, you know, the music, you know, playing and the red carpet and here you come into the house and announce you. You know what I mean? That whole entranceway, it's got to be kind of grand and special, you know, for guests coming in. And then
that's how I feel. Totally, I want an important entryway. I want, when I come home after a trip or a hard day's work, I want to see my front door, and I want to, I want this relief to wash over me, and maybe a little bit of pride. That's my house. It's a nice house, and I'm being welcomed home.
Yeah.
I'm totally there. But with custom houses, the whole point is ultimately you make what you feel the client is knowledgeably asking you for.
Right.
Meaning that, yeah, by all means, say you don't think it's a good plan or have you considered this. But if that's what they're asking for and that's what they tell you will make you them happy,
right,
then that's the business. You
right.
You do as you're told.
Do you have this discussion sometimes with people about entrance ways? And is it a big design consideration in the house, kind of? Or is it something that's kind of left to the end and you kind of, well, we're going to get it?
Anything that's left to the end doesn't work.
Right.
I don't know. A few fortuitous things happen.
Right.
But houses are much more complicated than people give them credit
right.
for.
Yeah.
It's all connected.
Yeah. You've got to... And that also goes with the land. If you're not really looking at the lay of the land, how can you get this... See, I always love a driveway that you can wheel in and, you know, big turnaround. Like, I love circular driveways. Wheel in, wheel out, and then and spot the park, and then you can find the front door, go in. I mean, it makes you feel good when you get there.
Yeah, and this isn't just us, suddenly. This is basic architecture and,
right.
and design and planning.
Oh,
and
it's not just my mom?
Well, your mom's kind of at the far end. Of,
right.
Of, and she might
but
have a little classism in there.
But that's the psychology of it. Yeah, well, of course it was the English class system.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. But that's the kind of, like, you see that mentality still, I mean, it's been ingrained in us for, you know, hundreds of years. And
do you know what else that is a bit of a funny one? And I think this is not classism, but it begs the question. But people really want to open their front door in towards themselves.
Right.
Because they feel it is very inhospitable to open, when somebody comes to their door, to open it and kind of push their guests away.
You want to be welcoming. Hey, open, welcome.
Yeah. And
left hand open, right hand out to shake. And yeah.
Really important for some people. Yet, if you're trying to build an efficient house, which I have a meeting after this with somebody we're building a very efficient house.
Cool.
Very square footage is really trying to pack a lot in. The door swings in, that interferes with your closet doors.
Right.
So if your front door swings in, you need a lot more space in your entry.
Right.
It's not just the 9 square feet of door swing, it's more like 50 square feet
right.
that you gain by having your people. Because some doors do swing out, people are used to it.
Well, the entranceway is that whole transition phase where you need that decompression zone. You've got a transition. You're going from outside in the rain to maybe inside, so you need a spot to shed off the outerwear, put the umbrella away or whatever, and take the shoes off. And, I mean, it's a whole, you know, you're greeting 2 or 3 people. I mean, you got to, you know, it's a lot of space. And usually you can tell those 1970s homes because, you know, you'll have the door and
there's no space.
Yeah, you just open it and you're in the living room.
Probably standing on shag.
Yeah. But there's, you know, they never took that into any account. It was just like, you know, you're in the living room. If you were lucky, you got a closet right there that would hold maybe one coat or a couple things, and that's it. You know, where the newer houses design, it's really, I think, the entranceway is really an important. It's kind of the main. Everything's kind of off of that, you know.
It always has been. A lot of these architectural things that kind of come and go in importance,
right.
It's not like our generation has just discovered them.
Right.
You know, same with the low-income or ethical housing. A lot of these things have been really thoroughly discovered and experimented
right.
with, and relative to who we are and how
right.
we build, a lot of the really good work has been done in Northern California.
Right.
Just because it's bigger and
the population and the money and
yeah. Yeah, they build the same way, they think the same way
right.
on kind
right.
of residential design anyway.
Right.
We may have
right.
other political differences.
Right.
But yeah, it's always been important. Those
right.
are core, how you relate to people coming and going is the core emotional and social.
Right.
But that's also what makes construction design really interesting, is there are these little things that are just, we don't think a lot about them, but yeah, they're important to us.
Well,
how
and
we
that's
live.
Why you can see in the houses that sell after, like, they'll go on the market and people will fall in love with it and buy it. They've got a thread that runs through them all, and the ones that don't sell and people feel awkward in, they just sit forever, and everyone gets this awkward feeling, and it comes down to the basic design and the flow and the function of the house. If it's just wrong, it doesn't work for anybody until you get maybe that one out of 100 people who think backwards. And maybe, you know, there's a person out there forward, but it's very, they're just so, you know, off the scale that it don't work.
Well, there's this concept with people sometimes mistake being an expert at living in a house with an expert at building a house.
Right.
And they're pretty different. And most people who are observant and have moved around a little bit, maybe in different countries, or just pay attention to the houses they're in, are pretty expert at living in houses,
right.
Especially if they've been in charge of looking after the house, being the homemaker or repair person. But that's very different from being an expert at building a house.
Exactly.
So that's kind of what generates some of those issues. That
it would be like saying a car driver, if you can drive a car, you must be a mechanic. Well, you're not. You're not going to try to open the hood and fix a new car. I mean, you'll probably stand there and go, wow, look at all the stuff. What does it all do? I mean, you're not going to, you know, look for the ignition points. You're not going to find them. I mean, things have changed a lot, and it's complicated. There's a lot of different facets to new houses or new cars. I mean,
the components of a house are often fairly straightforward, and people can understand an isolated component of a house and how that...
Right.
But what they don't understand is you have to pull all these components together as one. You can't just concentrate on one aspect of the design and go, oh, I got that, I like that, and then move on. It's all this organic thing that you kind of have to massage and bring together as one and develop into one concept as opposed to 1,000 different concepts. So, yeah, it's...
Well, I want to thank you, Nick, for coming on the show today. We were just getting on a roll, too. It's amazing how quickly an hour goes.
It has gone.
Johnny DeVille is in the house. Johnny's Rock Machine is coming up in a few minutes, so we're going to play a few ads, and Johnny will be in and entertain everybody for the next couple hours with his rock and roll music, which he's so good at playing. But I want to thank Nick for coming in today and... talking home construction. It was very interesting, and I realize that you're extremely busy, and I just want to thank you again for coming in, and I hope that on the podcast, my listeners over the next 3 or 4 years will listen to you and realize that, hey, this is a guy I really want to meet, because I'm sure that these conversations go on with people when you're in that initial planning stage, and you got to have someone that understands the whole concept. And don't buy one of those stock plans out of a book and then show up on Salt Spring and say, well, I'm going to build this yellow house on page 42. Where's the hardware store? Because then you end up with a house that just doesn't work. You need someone that kind of lives here, knows everything about all the stuff here.
You want a house that relates to its location.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
Well, thank you, Nick. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And so stay tuned for the Johnny DeVille, and we'll have a few words from our sponsors, and have yourself a wonderful afternoon, Salt Spring Island.